All right. So, like Ryan was saying before, my name is Ezekiel. I live in Swift Current, Saskatchewan. And my job is I travel around speaking and performing and just getting to share the gospel and getting to really brag about who Jesus is. And just before we dive into scripture together, can we pray? And I was talking with the Epic Kids this weekend, and a lot of times, you know, prayer during a church service, it kind of works as a transition piece. It's like, all right, we're done singing, and we have to somehow get from the singing to the preaching, so we need something in the middle. And that's kind of where prayer fits in. But I honestly believe that while we're praying, God is working on our hearts, that prayer changes things. And so just as we pray together, can we just pray that God would meet us in this place and that we would leave transformed by the power of His Holy Spirit? That we wouldn't leave the same as when we came? So let's pray together. Father God, I want to thank you so much that we can be together like this, that we have children all the way up to seniors together to celebrate who you are. God, I honestly believe that you have each one of us here for a purpose, that we're not just here to fill a chair, we're not just here to kill a Sunday morning, but God, we're here to meet with you. So God, I pray that as we dive into the Word together, that you will be shaping and molding and transforming our hearts, and that we would leave empowered by your Holy Spirit. That we would leave as a people on fire for you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I didn't grow up in the church. I got saved when I was 19 years old. All right, so it was March 30th of 2012. I met with Jesus. It was crazy, and everything changed. And that September, I ended up going to Bible college. And so at this point, I'd read a good chunk of the book of Proverbs. All right, that is all that I knew. I hadn't even got through the whole book yet, because Proverbs always made me feel bad about myself, because every time I talked about, you know, being a fool, it seemed like a pretty good descriptor, and I was like, I don't want to read this. I don't feel good after. And so I go to Bible college, and the first class that I took was called The Church and Its Mission, and it was a fourth-year Bible college class. All right, so I'm sitting in this classroom, and I've been a Christian for like 5 months and knew nothing. And I'm sitting here with all these people that have job offers and they're about to go be pastors. I was like, golly, I am way underqualified to be in this room. And my grades proved it. But the entire course was looking at what we call the Great Commission. And we find that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, where Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and I will be with you till the end of the age. And so it's essentially Jesus telling his followers to go out, share the gospel, and tell people what it means to follow him. And so that was kind of my initiation into the Christian faith. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up on Sunday school stories. So the first thing that I knew for sure is that we're supposed to be out telling people about Jesus. So I get home after this class, and I was like, better get started. And so I would just tell everybody. All right, I was that really annoying Christian that makes everybody uncomfortable. We all know one of those. All right, so I was that guy. And you know, I remember I lived in... It was super cheap. I lived in the sketchiest apartment building. Okay, so it was cheap for a reason. But the locals, its real name was Nickel Manor, but the locals called it Heroin Heights. All right, so that's the place that I'm living in, and I'm doing dishes one night, and somebody knocks on my door, and I was like, uh-oh, this can't end well. So I open it, and there's this guy there. And he's like, hey, man, I have no idea who this guy is. I was like, hey, he's like, hey, I brought you some drugs. I was like, what? I was like, well, this is awkward. I don't do drugs, but I'm flattered. I didn't know what to say to him. And he was like, oh, yeah, I heard you were super religious. And you brought drugs anyway? I was like, that's a weird response. And so I was like, well, not exactly. Come on in. And it turned out he was actually, I disagree with his life choice, but he was a really nice guy. And for months, we would just meet once a week and talk about Jesus. And I remember being like, man, this is awesome, getting to tell people about Jesus. And, you know, and not long after that, music started going well, and I started getting to fly places. And I remember me sitting in a plane, and I was like, man, this guy's strapped into a metal tube beside me with nowhere to go. It's like the easiest evangelism. So what I would do is I'd just bring out my Bible, and I'd just be like reading it, and I'd be like, hey, man, you ever read this? Because you should. And I would just share my faith with everybody that I could. And sometimes it went really bad, and, you know, I'd get made fun of and threatened, because some people just don't want to hear it. But what really rattled me is the people in my church. You know, because I was talking with this one lady, and she's like, you know, you're still pretty new to the Christian faith, and you don't realize this, but you need to calm down a bit. I was like, oh. I was like, you know, you've been a Christian since the New Testament was written. Maybe you're right. And then I got sat down by a pastor. And he's like, hey, you spend a lot of time sharing your faith. And I was like, yeah, people need to hear the gospel. And he's like, well, you're right. But you're being too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. And then I thought, boy, you're a pastor, so you got to know what you're talking about. And so what happened is I started to get nervous. And I started to really question whether or not I was doing the right thing. And sharing my faith became terrifying. Because I started to wonder, it's like, well, am I sharing it too much? Because everybody else says I'm doing too much. And am I being too weird? And I just started to kind of pull back. Until the point that I really wasn't sharing my faith with anybody. Because I started to become scared of, you know, I was getting people not in the church, they didn't want to hear it, and then people in the church were telling me to pull back, and it was kind of, I just got scared of everybody. And sharing my faith just stopped happening. Has anybody ever found themselves in a spot like that where you're almost paralyzed by fear and you don't want to share your faith? Okay, there's like four of us. And I was rattled. And so for a couple of years, I was just kind of, you know, I was an intern at my church, so I'd share my faith there, and when I would do concerts, I'd share my faith there, but outside of that, I wouldn't really tell people about Jesus. And I went back, and I started studying Scripture, and I start seeing things like the Great Commission, where Jesus tells us to go make disciples, or in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says that we are Christ's ambassadors, that we're here representing Jesus. And eventually I was like, you know what? Everybody around me is wrong. Which is a dangerous statement. If everybody around you is saying the same thing, they might be right. But I'm looking at Scripture, I'm like, no. We need to be out telling everybody about Jesus. We need to be out sharing the gospel. We need to be out saving people from the reality of hell. We need to be out spreading the kingdom. See, sharing our faith isn't part of our lives, it's the point. Sharing your faith isn't just part of your faith, it's the entire reason why you're here on earth, is to make Jesus known. But that can be terrifying, especially since we live in a world that's becoming increasingly hostile towards the gospel, right? Where we've got people all over the world being imprisoned for their faith. In Canada, we have these ideologies coming up that are very counter to Scripture. And it's a terrifying spot to be, you know what? We're going to stand here in the truth, and we're rooted, and we're not going to move regardless of what the world says. It's a terrifying spot to find ourselves, isn't it? So what do we do? Now, as I was studying the New Testament, what I realized is that being afraid of sharing our faith isn't something new. We are in very good company. In Acts chapter 4, what we have is we have the apostles, right after they get out of jail and they get beaten up, they come together and they pray for boldness. I was like, okay, so the apostles were scared, but the one that really caught me off guard was the apostle Paul. And we're going to talk about him. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to be in verse 19. And if you're not familiar with the apostle Paul, he was a Jewish religious leader, so he was a Pharisee, and he kind of made his living off imprisoning Christians. All right, so he'd have them put to death, he'd have them put in jail, and that was kind of his full-time job. And then Jesus met with him and was like, hey, Paul, you're mine. And then Paul went on to write half the New Testament. Crazy. So he would travel from place to place, he would plant churches and share the gospel, and he would get stoned, he'd get beaten, he'd get whipped. Like, Paul went through it. All right, and this was a guy that just, when I read the New Testament, this guy seems fearless. But he makes this really interesting prayer request to the Ephesians. So when he's writing this, Paul's in jail. Now, I've never been to jail, but I'm assuming jail 2,000 years ago is a lot different than jail now. Like, Paul didn't have TV time, I'm assuming, since electricity wasn't a thing yet. He probably wasn't getting his 3 square meals a day. And nobody really liked him that much because he was super annoying. And so I'm assuming that he didn't get bathroom privileges. All right, so Paul's just in this jail cell, and it's gross, and it's dirty, and he's been beaten times without measure, so he's going to be sore all the time, his chronic pain, and that's where he finds himself. And he makes this interesting request. He says, pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I could boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Now, if there's anybody in the history of the planet that did not have a courage issue, it was Paul. All right? This guy, like, this is the kind of guy where he's preaching the gospel, he gets dragged out of the city, they stone him till they think he's dead. He pops back up the next day, walks back into the city to keep preaching. All right? I'm not going to lie. If you guys drag me out to the parking lot and you throw rocks at me till you think I'm dead, I'm hitting the road. And I'm going to think you guys are jerks. But not Paul. Paul's like, hey, I wasn't done. And he goes back in. He's in jail for sharing his faith, yet he's asking for more boldness. Isn't that insane? And what catches me off guard is that he didn't ask to get out of jail. He's not there like, hey, guys, I need to be broken out. Ask God to send an angel. Maybe two. There's a lot of guards. All right. He doesn't ask that. He says, hey, I'm in jail and I'm still preaching this message. Pray that I would have boldness. I'm in jail and I'm still preaching this message. Ask God to give me the right words. See, I've been a part of the church for just about 6 years now. And I've found that most times when people are giving prayer requests, they're asking about very specific situations. I mean, a lot of my friends are in college, so it's always like, hey, I didn't study for my final. You know, ask God to help me memorize the entire course by tomorrow. Or, hey, I'm broke, I need money, ask God to bless me with money. And all those, none of those are bad things. Going to God with prayers and requests are absolutely good, but how often do we ask for courage? How often do we ask that we would have the right words to say to the people around us? See, what we see through Scripture is that God's word is eternal. And that regardless of circumstance, his word stays true. And Paul said to the Philippians that he knows what it is to have plenty and he knows what it is to have nothing. In Scripture, we see prophets being beaten, we see apostles being beaten, yet they still celebrate the person of Jesus. Why? Well, that's because of the gospel. Because we have the promise of Jesus that if we put our faith and our trust in him, and if we follow him at the end of it all, through all the suffering, through our entire life, that if we cling to Jesus, we get him at the end of it. And we get to spend eternity with him in heaven. And that's a terrific promise. But we can't get there by ourselves. There's a reason why Paul's asking other people for prayer. There's a reason why people gathered together for prayer. There's a reason why God gave us the church. It's because the Christian faith isn't about us as an individual. The Christian faith is about us as a body going out and making Jesus known in a world that, quite frankly, doesn't want to hear about Jesus. So I want to ask you guys a question. In your times when you're praying, whether by yourself or if you're part of your small group, are you praying that God would change your situation, or are you praying for the boldness that God would use you in your situation? Because I'm not naive. Some of you guys are in pretty awful situations. Some of you guys live every day afraid to share your faith, and I get it. I mean, like this, I find this easy. I can get up on stage and talk about Jesus all the time, but you put me across the table from somebody, all of a sudden talking about Jesus gets tough. And you're not alone in that. The Apostle Paul needed boldness. The apostles needed boldness. We need boldness. So I want to challenge you guys that when you're in prayer, both individually and when you're praying with your husbands, with your wives, with your kids, with your friends, whoever you're praying with, pray for one another. Pray for each other that you would have boldness. Pray for the right words to say to the people around you that God would make himself known. Because sharing the gospel is not part of your life, it is the point of your life. Regardless of where you are, regardless of what you do, you are there to make Jesus known and see the kingdom grow. And if you're scared, that's okay. You can be scared, but that fear doesn't have to paralyze you, because when we spend time with God, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. So pray for each other. Pray for yourselves. Go out and make him known. So the worship team's going to come up. We're going to sing a few more songs of celebrating who Jesus is, but I just want to take a minute and pray for everyone in here that God would give us the words to say to the people around us and that he would give us the boldness to share the gospel. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for the gospel promise that we have, that you would send your son to die in our place so that we could be adopted into your family, become part of your kingdom. And God, sharing that message is terrifying. We live in a world that doesn't want to hear about you. So God, I want to pray for everyone in here, myself included, God, that we would have boldness. That we would have the courage to share the gospel message. Because God, you are greater than our fear. So God, I pray that as we go forth, you would give us the words to say to the people around us. God, not that we just be kind of winging it and making it up as we go, but just that you would give us wisdom and speak through us. Father, I pray for everybody in here, you would use them in their situation. Whether the situation is good, whether it's bad, that you would be glorified through it, that you would use it to make yourself known. Because you're a good God. And you are powerful. And you love us. So pray these things in Jesus' name.